in Lake Geneva, wind chill 17. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
We welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Today's program is our last new program of 2021. We'll fill up the rest of 2021 by replaying some of our most memorable programs from this calendar year. And it's a long list to choose from, if I do say so myself. But speaking of memorable, we have a very memorable conversation today with which to draw to a close the monthly visits of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. And we're going to be talking today about the incredibly important and incredibly complicated topic of healthcare, and specifically healthcare in Southeast Wisconsin and the role that Gateway Technical College plays in helping to bring high-quality healthcare to the public and to the community. And we will be introducing two extremely special guests in just a moment. President Brian Albrecht, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. Always a pleasure to be here. I'm going to be listening intently to next week's show then, because I want to hear the top stories of 2021. And I can bet that somewhere along that list, there's going to be a story on healthcare for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That is all around us. So we'll introduce our guests in just a moment. I know that you have a couple of special new partnerships and grants and so on you want to talk about, including one which involved a recent visit to a Gateway campus by none other than Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers. Tell us what brought the governor to Gateway.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Greg. I'm still smiling, and I know I will be for many years going forward. A few months ago, Secretary Missy Hughes and Secretary Designee for the Department of Workforce Development, Pacek, announced $100 million of workforce training funding would be available for regions across the state. And Gateway was proud to partner with 26 community-based organizations to develop an application, submit that application to expand our pre-college programming. That would be our HSED, those are high school equivalency diplomas, GED programs, short-term certificate programs, the types of programs that we know adults are looking for in order to upskill themselves, get that credential to move into the workplace. So we submitted an application. Now it's highly competitive. I think they told us 130 applications from around the state.
Wow.
12 were selected. And on Wednesday, we announced with the governor that Gateway did receive a $5.6 million grant to boost our efforts in pre-college programming. So that is going to help feed the pipeline for the worker shortage and the talent gap in our region for many years to come. It'll serve over 1,300 students and maybe even more by the time we're all done. But the key thing to it is it'll link many of our community-based organizations like the YWCA, the Workforce Development Centers, Higher Expectations, Strive Together, all those organizations that are doing similar work, but this will tie them all together for a single purpose to help adults find their way on the path to a great family-sustaining job. So really excited, and we thank the governor and thank the entire community for rallying behind that application.
Fantastic. You have good cause for smiling. So thanks for sharing about that. I know that you're very, very excited about a partnership with Lumina that can really make a positive difference for Gateway going forward. Tell us what that's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, someday we'll have to do a show just on all the different partnerships that we have, because they're so strong and they're so embedded into the success of Gateway. But Lumina is an organization, philanthropic organization, that supports adult learning pathways. And again, Gateway was selected by Lumina to helped develop a model around how do we establish these industry partnerships that lead to industry credentialing, so skill standards. And I'm really proud that Matt Janison, our Vice President for Business and Workforce Solutions, is leading that effort. There are three colleges around the country that are collaborating. Gateway's the fiscal agent for the project. We had the Lumina team here last week to do a site visit, develop the concept paper that's going to be shared across the nation later this summer. And since then, we've sent a team down to Alabama, and we've got a team going out to Arizona where the other colleges are located. And we'll collaborate and we'll identify some key assets that we think will help other colleges across the country do similar work to that we're doing right here. So thanks to all the leadership again at Gateway that's helping build that national model out for us. It was an exciting visit that they had, and I look forward to the results at the end of this project.
Fantastic. Finally, I know as we are entering the holidays in a big way that you want to be sure that the community understands all of the really exciting and gratifying service projects that have been going on related to this holiday season.
Yeah, you know, that's probably the most important announcement that I'll make today, and that's just a big thank you and congratulations to our students. First of all, thank you to all of our students that participated in our community outreach service projects. These are things like helping to build gardens in our community, to do cleanup projects around the lakefront, to trim trees where needed in a cemetery, collect hats, mittens, and gloves for children, and of course, toy drives as well. So our students and our student organizations, our clubs, they'd go the extra mile to make sure that they're involved in our community in so many ways. And we'll probably touch on one today and how we bring young people into the Gateway community. So that on top of this time of year, I always give a big salute to those students that are graduating, that have completed their academic credentials here at the college and are already, if not already, working in our community. And it's such an important role that they play because they're the sustaining, what we used to call frontline workers. Now we call them essential workers to sustain our community. And we're going to talk a lot about that today in the healthcare industry. But I was so honored to be able to attend many of the graduation and completion ceremonies and look forward to continuing to celebrate the legacy of Gateway through our community and through the students that are now living and working in our community.
Excellent. Thank you for that. For those of you just joining us, today marks the final monthly visit of 2021 of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. And with him today, two very, very special guests to talk about healthcare here in Southeast Wisconsin. President Albrecht, I'll let you do the honors in terms of the two guests you have assembled to join you today.
I would be happy, and I can't think of two better people to help me with this conversation today because they're both champions in their profession, leaders in their profession, and very strong advocates for our community here in Southeast Wisconsin. First, Lisa Just, who's the president of Southeast Wisconsin Aurora. And I just want to comment, I met Lisa, it's probably been 15 years ago already, and she has always been such a positive influence on my life and the decisions that I make around what we do in healthcare at Gateway. And when we started to move forward about 2 years ago on a pretty extensive advanced programming in healthcare programs, I turned immediately to Lisa for guidance and advice. So we're really proud that Lisa's with us today to share her perspective on the changes in the industry and, of course, the role that Gateway plays. And then hopefully not a stranger to anyone on the program today is Vicki Coyle. Vicki is the dean of our School of Health here at the college. Again, a very, very strong champion and leader across the state in the profession of nursing. I was honored only a few days ago to be with Vicki as she celebrated 88 new nurses in their pinning ceremony. And that is so emotional to see how families come together to support their sons, daughters, wives, grandchildren, whoever it is that's graduating, because they know the level of commitment that it takes to be a nurse. And Vicki's just such a great champion for that and helps keep our program, as you'll hear today, on the top of the ranks for quality. So we're glad that they're both with us today.
We indeed are very, very honored to have both of you with us. Thanks so much. Lisa Just, again, president of Southeast Wisconsin Aurora. This is your first time on the program, so we want to make sure you feel very welcome, and we want our listeners to know a little bit more about you. Maybe you could tell us a bit about where you come from originally and kind of your professional pathway that has taken you ultimately to your current position with Aurora.
Sure. Happy to, Greg, and glad to be on for my first visit with the radio program this morning. Always a pleasure of partnering with Brian and Vicki. So I have actually been with Advocate Aurora for over 30 years. So that has basically been my professional pathway here. And that entire time I have been living in Racine County, in Eastern Racine County, 20 some years in Caledonia and the previous years in Mount Pleasant. So have been raising my family with my two sons in this area and have always been really proud to be a part of it. So during that time with Advocate Aurora, I've been in a number of roles, but most recently, as you said, I serve as the president for Advocate Aurora for South Wisconsin, but that's Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth County. So great matchup to Gateway's territory as well, which is why my history goes back so long with Brian, because first in Western Racine County in Walworth, and now in Kenosha and Racine. So I oversee all of the hospitals and clinic functions in those areas. And that includes our three hospitals of Aurora Lakeland Medical Center, Aurora Medical Center Burlington, and then Aurora Medical Center Kenosha. And soon to be our fourth hospital opening in early 2022 is the Aurora Medical Center Mount Pleasant.
I remember the groundbreaking for the new hospital. That was pretty exciting. And now as you drive by to see it all up, it's raised, it's beautiful. I can't wait for the ribbon cutting because I know that's going to be a great celebration as well. And I might just mention, Lisa, our territories overlap, which means that we serve a lot of the same residents because like education, it tends to be regional. People tend to go to the schools in which they're closely located. Same as healthcare, right? They tend to attract to the healthcare centers that are within their region. So we have a common element there in the individuals that we serve, but also the mission that we serve at the college here.
Lisa, just the last 24 months have been incredibly challenging for all of us, but in a very fierce, ferocious way, of course, for anybody involved in the healthcare industry. Maybe you could take a couple minutes to try to take the rest of us inside what you and others within the healthcare industry have experienced over the last 2 years. During this very challenging time of pandemic. What has it been like?
So, Greg, for I think the team members of Advocate Aurora and myself included, we've never been prouder to be working in healthcare than in the last 24 months. Never did we feel as needed. Never did we feel as challenged, though. And it's been a huge strain. Anxiety is high, but I'm just really, really amazed at the resilience of our team members and how they keep going and going for our patients and their families and our community. So it's been a privilege to serve as part of the solution to our pandemic problem that we're facing together. I've been saying for the last 24 months, we are all in this together. And that doesn't just mean the team members of Advocate Aurora, it means the entire community. And our community has supported us through that, which is we will be forever grateful. So, you know, I watched our team members step beyond their normal roles. We started testing centers and drive-through testing. We started delivering vaccines. We wound up pivoting at every moment as the new evidence-based research came out for the best ways to be treating our COVID patients. And we just had to change in the moment. Change became our norm, and we managed through it, and we're continuing to manage through it. I will be eternally grateful, as I said, for all of the support that our community gave us, whether that was just notes, whether that was little items left by our doors, whether that was food delivered to us. It just really helped because we want to be able to take care of our patients, and our community helped take care of us.
It was really evidence too. I mean, I've had a chance to visit with many of your team members, the spirit, the energy, the enthusiasm, the positivity that they have to try to exuberate every day because individuals coming to them are not feeling well. They don't have that sense of energy anymore. And so not only because of the COVID pandemic, but just general healthcare related issues. And it's really a credit to you and the leadership of your organization to keep all of your team members focused on what the goal is, right? To provide that customer service, that care, so that people can get healthy and on with their lives. So great job.
Yeah. Lisa, just I'm especially curious about the how complicated it has been for people to receive healthcare, even aside from the specific matter of COVID and the fact that for a time, you had to be so careful about who you could even sort of let through your doors for understandable reasons in terms of before there was a vaccine and so on. But I mean, the concern about people being able to receive treatment for other matters having nothing to do with COVID whatsoever. And I think there were widespread fears that there would be kind of a whole kind of secondary fallout from the pandemic because of that, in a sense, interruption in what otherwise would be normal, high-quality healthcare delivered in terms of those kind of things. What is your sense now, looking back at that portion of the pandemic? Did we manage to get through it without too much in terms of kind of residual damage done to people's health in that way?
Yeah, Greg, when the virus hit in March of 2020, you know, we shut down, right? We were there to care for the COVID patients, but we didn't know how to, and we didn't know much about this virus and how it was transmitted and how it affected others. And we, you know, went on a high speed learning journey to be able to do that. And we then, you know, took care of those patients, and then we're not seeing our elective surgeries, or we weren't seeing our patients coming in for their annual checkups. We quickly pivoted to virtual visits. I mean, we made probably a 5-year gain on our normal journey for our technology in those just few short months after COVID hit. But looking back, you know, if we had known what we had known now, and if we had the equipment and the personal protective gear that we have for our team members and the vaccinations now that we have for our team members, it would not have been a good idea for us to shut down. And we won't be doing that again. We are learning to live with this virus and being able to take care of our community while we have COVID patients and while we have healthy patients coming in for their annual checkups and their preventative care. Yes, there was increases in cancer rates during this time because people forewent their screenings. And that's not something that we recommend now. We can keep our patients safe as they come in. They don't need to worry about having the virus transmitted to them. We know now how to really be able to be sure that everyone is safe and on their wellness journey again. We have some to make up. So I'm hopeful that everyone listening to this radio program and share that it's now time, if you haven't gotten those checkups and those screenings, to please do so.
That's so important. I like that comment too about 5 years into the future. We did same thing in education, hybrid learning, you know, a lot of Zoom technology, a lot of online, and you know, that's going to be a part of our future going forward. So there's certainly is something to be learned as a result of the last 2 years of the pandemic.
For those of you just joining us, this is Brian Albrecht's monthly visit to the program, president of Gateway Technical College, another president with us today. You just heard from Lisa Jest, president of Aurora of Southeast Wisconsin. And also with us is Dr. Vicki Coyle, who is dean of Gateway's School of Health. Dr. Coyle, remind our listeners about your own history with Gateway and your kind of personal pathway that has led you ultimately to be dean of the School of Health.
Well, thank you for welcoming me back. It's always fun to be on here with Dr. Albrecht and Greg, and it's great to be here with Lisa because our teams have worked so closely together. My journey at Gateway is really kind of a fun story because it really happened over a cup of coffee. A friend of mine, Bernadette O'Connell, who is a faculty member in the EMS department here at Gateway, as we were talking and getting to know each other, we were talking about my experience working in labor and delivery in the Southeast Wisconsin area. Mm-hmm. And she invited me to present for one of her classes, one of her paramedic classes. It was a paramedic refresher course with Jim Poltruck with Kenosha Fire Department. And after the presentation, she encouraged me to apply for an adjunct position at Gateway. So I thought, you know, maybe I do want to be a teacher. Maybe I could encourage our future nursing assistants. So I stopped into an adjunct job fair and talked to Diane Skewes, who was our dean of nursing at the time. And after talking to her for about 5 minutes, she said, you know, I think you should go back to school for your master's degree. And I thought, wow, okay, from I'd like to teach nursing assistants to why don't you go back to school, get your master's degree, and then come teach for our associate's degree program. So I did. I actually did. That week I enrolled in an MSN program. And when I got my 10th credit hour for my master's degree, I contacted Diane Skewes, and I started at Gateway in May of 2012 as a nursing faculty member. I was the first nursing faculty member to be a full-time summer faculty. So I was part of our expansion of the nursing program to have classes during the summer semesters. And I think I finished my 10th credit hour on April 24th, and my first day at Gateway was May 5th. So, yeah. So Gateway has been a huge part of my journey, not just in nursing, but in nursing education, because I came from working in labor and delivery to teaching in the classroom. And also Gateway has been a huge part in kind of creating my global perspective, where I've been able to go on 4 international service learning trips with Gateway and take students to South Africa, Belize, and Switzerland. So that's also been part of that journey. But then in 2017, when Diane Skewes was retiring, I did move into the role of the Dean of Nursing at Gateway. And in 2019, the Dean of Health. So now our School of Health encompasses all of our health programs at Gateway. And that includes nursing assistant, dental assisting. We do have a shared dental hygiene program with MATC, medical assisting, surgical technician, physical therapy assistant, health information technologist, and an ophthalmic tech program that we have shared with Lakeshore Technical College. So my journey here at Gateway certainly started over a cup of coffee and talking about emergency deliveries with the Kenosha Fire Department.
Wow.
Well, I have a strong feeling that your journey has not ended yet. You are a tremendously influential leader, Vicki, and I'm so proud that Diane tapped you on the shoulder and said was a place for you here at Gateway, because that's exactly what we need. And Diane is still a very strong leader and advocate in healthcare. We have a great tribute room in her honor on our Inspire Center campus. And it's a good reminder for all of us that there's someone out there that's looking out for us. And we just need to have our eyes wide open and our ears open to look for those opportunities.
Very good. And Dr. Coyle, you just listed all the aspects of Gateway's School of Health, all the different programs. And I suppose tied to every one of those different programs is probably a number of different positions, potential jobs that Gateway students could go after. I mean, in terms of what we contribute to the healthcare industry in this part of the country, I'm sure it's a very significant impact.
It is a huge impact. We have our job market for graduates has grown even in just the last 10 years. And right now in Southeast Wisconsin, in our healthcare market, you can see many great options. We're seeing students that are employed in inpatient and outpatient settings, as from CNAs, medical assistants, nurses, LPNs, dental offices, health departments, home care organizations, hospice care, infusion centers. But graduates don't have to stop there. They're actually working for insurance companies, doing chart audits, forensic nursing, travel nursing. And recently I heard that now there's travel nursing assistants. So, but one of the trends that we're really seeing is that our Gateway students, which is no surprise, are not stopping at their certifications from Gateway, and they're not stopping at their diplomas and associate's degrees at Gateway. What we see is healthcare organizations, students are going on and earning their bachelor's degrees and higher level degrees. And really we're seeing Gateway graduates and places of leadership within our healthcare organizations. And with all of the articulation agreements and the tuition reimbursement that's available through our healthcare organizations, Gateway is really just the start of their journey, and it's their launch pad into higher level degrees and higher leadership positions within our healthcare community.
Greg, I might add, interestingly enough, Gateway just hired one of Vicki's graduates to work in our HR department to help us with all our COVID tracking. So anywhere organizations are monitoring the health and wellness of their employees or the people they are managing or responsible for, there's an important role for healthcare. So we're super proud of that.
Very good. Let's turn back to Lisa Just, our other special guest today, president of Aurora here in Southeast Wisconsin. I think, Lisa Just, you said you've been with Aurora for some 30 years. So you have been with Aurora through years of tremendous growth and also through years in which the healthcare industry as a whole has really changed in some dramatic ways. What would you say would be some of the most significant ways that the healthcare industry has changed, maybe particularly in ways that might not be immediately apparent to those of us who are part of this so-called civilian population?
Sure, Greg. So yeah, over my 30 years, I have really seen Advocate Aurora change. I mean, I started actually before it even was called Aurora Healthcare. It was St. Luke's Samaritan because we only had two hospitals of St. Luke's and Good Samaritan in the downtown area. And then one medical clinic was a part of our system that we started, that it has since grown to be one of the top 12 systems in the nation. And we have, with our merger of Advocate Healthcare in 2018, we now span the state of Wisconsin on the eastern side, as well as in the state of Illinois. We have 75,000 team members and growing, because healthcare has continued to rapidly change in order to be able to, I think, acquire the funding that's needed for the high specialty care that we provide, as well as being able to support our services out in our rural communities or our urban communities, that we find that the size truly helps us. But as we said earlier, education, what Brian said, education's local, so is healthcare is local. Which is why, you know, I oversee my own geography, right? So we can bring our leadership and our care down to the community level. The changes that I've seen are in technologies. At first, you would have all of your high-end technologies done at your more of your tertiary centers, like St. Luke's Medical Center. But I can tell you now, Aurora Medical Center Kenosha is offering tertiary services in addition to community care. We're offering interventional pulmonology. We're offering neurospine surgery. We're offering not only robotics for our general surgery and our OBGYN and our urology, but now in orthopedics as well. So, you know, our OB unit has now an 8-bed neonatal intensive care unit at Kenosha. And we not only have our OBGYNs, but we have maternal fetal medicine physicians. We have our certified nursing nurses, our certified maternal nurses, that it is really, it becomes, as technology changes, that we're able to utilize that technology for more and more high-end acute things, as well as preventative medicine also. So where I've seen those changes is that our nurses and our surgical techs and our certified nursing assistants and our medical assistants are all a part of that higher end care now, and having to do things that I think that they probably wouldn't have had to do 10 years ago. And we see that, you know, that's why we partner with Gateway, to be able to help prepare our team members to be able to take on that that care and that technology and the higher end diagnostics, so that we can bring better care to our patients.
Well, Greg, and as a resident of Southeast Wisconsin, you and I, and hopefully all of our listeners should feel pretty good about the quality of healthcare we have in our home communities. That's so important. We hear stories all across the nation where access to healthcare is so difficult, and especially in rural areas. And we are just so fortunate here to have the quality of service that we have, and Advocate Aurora certainly being one of those cornerstones of success for us here.
For sure. Dr. Vicki Coyle, again, our Dean of the School of Health here at Gateway, to facilitate this expanding world of healthcare that Lisa Just was just describing. Of course, Gateway has had to increase what it does and expand its healthcare program towards that end. Tell our listeners about something called the Lincoln Center for Health Careers, which apparently is a central part of this important effort. Tell our listeners what that's all about.
So the Lincoln Center for Health Careers is our new building that will serve our nursing and health programs on the Racine campus. The Lincoln building is located kind of in the park area beside the statue, and it will be very much like our Inspire Center in Kenosha, where it has three high fidelity simulation rooms, two skills labs that include an area for lecture, and the mannequins and beds so that the students can practice their skills and check off on their skills, including a home care room and additional classrooms. How that Lincoln Center came about was that we realized that with expanding healthcare and the huge need for nurses within our community, we had every semester over 120 qualified applicants petitioning and applying for our nursing program. We only had 80 seats available to bring students in. And we knew that there was a need for us to expand our nursing program and to support our healthcare organizations in our community and nationwide shortage of nurses, that we, using the data that we collect and the evidence that we were going to need more nurses, we began expanding our program. But with expanding our program and bringing more students in, we knew that we needed more space. And at the time, we were only located on our Burlington campus and our Kenosha campus. So we started to run out of classroom and skills lab space. And I happened to run into Brian in the bookstore where he might have been purchasing a Christmas gift for his wife. And said, "Hey, Brian, we keep expanding our nursing program, but we're really expanding out of our space." And at the time, they knew that they were looking for a program to go into the Lincoln Center. So it was perfect timing. The stars aligned. And thank you to Gateway's board and to Corey Mason, the mayor of Racine, who came out and supported us and really helped us create this plan and move forward with the Lincoln Center for Health Careers. And we're really excited to be able to bring such high-tech equipment and a real-life hospital-looking situation in our simulation lab.
Well, Vicki, I can just comment. So who doesn't love a new Gateway sweatshirt for Christmas? So I think it's always a good place to shop is at our school bookstore. I highly recommend it for all of our listeners. Well, you're so right. It takes an entire team to put a program like this together. And, you know, you serving as a quarterback made it easy because you gave us all the evidence, all the data, and the vision for what we were trying to do with nursing in the Racine community. And that tied to the needs of our community, including the new community health care center that's being built out in Racine, so our students can provide additional clinical support. There's just so many reasons why we would want to make this type of investment, but it's the quality of the program that you already had in place and the vision for the expansion that made the Lincoln Center a reality. And I received many requests from people that walked past that park going, "What is that really cool building?" So soon, within the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be able to open it up for everyone to come and see. And I think you'll be quite pleased.
Very good. Dr. Coyle, you've already hinted the answer to this, but maybe you can just expand on it at least briefly. How our training of people to become nurses has changed versus what it was like 10 years ago. How is that important work being done differently now versus a few years ago?
So as of, you know, healthcare is ever changing. And some of the really big things that we see changing in healthcare is you just can't get past the change in technology. And I know Lisa and their team, technology has changed so much in the last 10 years, not to mention the last 50 years, where even in the 1990s, we were charting our medications on cardexes and written paper medication sheets. And now that is all done on computers. So with the changing of electronic health records and the use of technology in the workplace, we also in nursing education have to move forward and we have to adapt and prepare our students for that high-tech technology that they're going to encounter in the workplace. So when you walk through our simulation labs, you see technology that you're going to see at our local healthcare organizations like Aurora. In fact, our Lincoln Center, when you walk into those rooms, you may feel like you're walking into one of the Mount Pleasant Aurora rooms because a lot of our color schemes and our computers and a lot, we've tried to make our rooms really look like they do at Aurora. But part of what's changing in healthcare that we've had to really keep up with is that our students are graduating as new graduates and they're going into specialties. They're taking care of higher acuity patients and healthcare is more complex. The inpatient patients that you have now are more sick because if they weren't really sick, they would be at home being taken care of at home. So that's another area within our curriculum that we have to look at and we have to grow with is now we're seeing nurses go into the home and take care of people at home, as well as telemedicine using technology to go in and triage patients before they even come into the office. So many of us, I think, throughout COVID have seen that we may have even ourselves had visits with either nurses, nurse practitioners, I know I even had a physical therapy assistant do a telenet, like a Zoom call to teach my grandmother ways of strengthening and increasing mobility. So we're having to prepare students for that. We're having to prepare them not only to go into a more complex, higher acuity environment, but also to use more technology and to be creative in how they're delivering. But the other thing, and 2010 seems like so long ago, but it's really not, and it's still impacting us, is that with the Affordable Care Act, it brought sweeping changes to healthcare just across the board in every area in healthcare, including nursing. And with the emphasis on preventive care and community health screenings, it really changed how nurses interact with their patients and a huge shift into, again, that home healthcare setting and having to really emphasize education and prevention. So our program at Gateway is evidence-based. We are moving forward with our National Council of State Board of Nursing, who in all of 2023, we're actually seeing more case studies and use of like electronic health records, even on their NCLEX state board exams. So the choice of being stagnant's not there. We have to move forward. We have to bend and not break, right, Lisa?
Absolutely.
No, Vicki, you know what might help, because sometimes we get caught in our own vocabulary. Maybe just really quickly highlight a little bit the certification and the standards that your program meets and what this NCLEX is all about, just so that people understand how a nurse is trained at Gateway.
Absolutely. So how a nurse is trained at Gateway, for starters, we start from the very beginning. And if I were going to give anyone any advice, if you have a teenager or a young person who's interested in going into healthcare, I highly recommend starting out in high school by taking some of our dual credit courses through Gateway and taking that nursing assistant course while you're in high school so that you can take the certification and work in healthcare and find out if nursing is really for you or if maybe you want another healthcare program. But at Gateway, our program is an associate's degree program. It's divided into four different semesters, and you have your theory courses, your skills courses where you learn how to do all of the skills from a head-to-toe assessment to starting an IV, administering medications. All those skills happen in those skills classes. And then every semester, our students have one or two clinical rotations, which we do send our students into clinical in the community. and that's in our hospital organizations and our long-term care and rehab facilities. So every student gets from 90 to 156 hands-on clinical experiences in each semester of our nursing program. Now, after the second semester of our nursing program, that's when a student can actually take their licensed practical nursing exam and become licensed as an LPN while they're still in nursing school. And we always encourage them to do that because getting that hands-on experience in the healthcare field only helps them to do better in their second year of their nursing program. Now, that state board exam is, it's a standardized test that is nationwide, and actually in some other countries internationally, they use that same NCLEX exam. The NCLEX exam is an exam that is done by the National State Board of Nursing, and it ensures that all new graduates who are licensed with a registered nurse or a licensed practical nursing license meet the minimum requirements and have the minimum knowledge to practice safely and provide high quality care. So, the students also apply for licensure in the state that they plan to practice in. We're fortunate in the state of Wisconsin, we do have a multi-state license, or you can apply just for a Wisconsin license. So it is a journey.
I'm very good. I understand that. I always try to explain to people that, you can go the associate degree nursing path or the four-year baccalaureate degree nursing path. Whatever path you're on, you're going to meet somewhere along the line to take your NCLEX exam. Same exam, different types of training. Ours is a little bit more applied and hands-on lab-based experiences. So thanks for sharing that.
Lisa, just, of course, once someone becomes a nurse, there is still training involved in order for them to remain a nurse and to adapt to all of the changes. Can you briefly describe what happens with nurses at Aurora in terms of being able to receive ongoing training to meet the escalating challenges of all that changes in terms of how nurses do what they do?
Yeah, so learning is continuous, right? You get your degree, your training, you get out into your job, and Advocate Aurora is passionate that your professional development continues and that we really strive to provide our team members with learning opportunities that allow us, as you said, Greg, to stay up to date and be most effective practice for our patients. So from the very first day on the job, training includes an introduction to Advocate Aurora, as well as what learning is required to become competent in the role. So we recognize that the training that they get as we partner with Gateway, when they come in, they're still learning. They're still new. They still want that continued experience, and we provide them with that support and those learning opportunities. So we want to make sure that they're validated on their skills and abilities that will allow them to function independently in their role. But that orientation, for the most part, is about 3 months. And for our specialty areas like surgical services, it could be 6 to 9 months as they start with us. So after that initial training, after we validate their competencies, their skills and abilities, we continue to help them build their career at Advocate Aurora. We want this career, we know it's not going to be, not everyone's going to be a 30-year person like I am. But I was a 30-year person because I was able to grow within the Advocate Aurora system. I started as a physical therapist, and I went on to be able to, be overseeing rehab services and then being given more and more responsibilities out of that silo of my rehab services until I was able to oversee a hospital and now a geography as well. And that was because of the leadership development that I received at Advocate Aurora and being able to get that support. So we provide, annual training. We have an academy for leadership development. We provide continuing education dollars for taking those weekend courses to stay up on your clinical skills. And then we provide tuition reimbursement for if you want to go on for that next degree. So it truly is, while we want you to stay, we don't want you to stay within your own position unless that's your choice. We want you to be able to grow and continue that learning journey of yours.
We are running out of time, and Lisa Just, I want to make sure to give you a chance to talk about how Aurora is trying to deal with the talent shortage that is affecting just about every facet of our economy, and we've touched on that already a time or two. What would be one or two of the ways in which Aurora is trying to meet this particular challenge?
So I have to say, first, it's, you know, one is a huge, it's our partnership with Gateway Technical College. I had the opportunity yesterday, Advocate Aurora provided an on-site recruitment event at our new Aurora Medical Center, Mount Pleasant Hospital. We entertained over 200 individuals coming in for a wide variety of positions. And I want to say that while I'm talking about health careers, when a hospital is like a microcosm of a community and needs all different types of careers working for us. So we are looking for, you know, when we open a new hospital, we're looking for food services and individuals in culinary arts. We are looking for our facilities technicians for HVAC and our all of the high tech now that you're seeing run these buildings. Our entire building is run by computers. It's building automation systems that we truly do need support in. Our finance area, our human resources area, we need people that have all different types of training, and we appreciate the support of Gateway and our higher educational institutions to help provide us with that pipeline. But I had the opportunity yesterday, after someone had already accepted a job, I got to tour them through the new hospital. They had their formal letter. It was a one-stop shop. They came in, interviewed, and were offered and given a start date in that one visit of ours. And they were a senior at Case High School and had gotten their CNA degree that they had partnered with Gateway. So they were all excited, and I was excited, because we certainly do need them. And they have they'll finish their CNA in January and be ready to be working with us when we open the hospital. So these partnerships truly do work. It really does provide that pipeline. You know, healthcare is looking to increase by 16% by 2030. So we need to continue to do things to help individuals understand their career pathways are wide open in healthcare.
That's pretty exciting. That demonstrates that the model works, right? If we partner with our schools and help students find their passion through education, right, to the job market, and then, of course, that investment to continue on with their education, that's what's going to sustain and build our community. So really glad to hear that. That was exciting.
Yes. And I'm afraid our time is gone. So I want to say a very, very enthusiastic thank you to both of our very, very special guests today, Lisa Just, who is president of Southeast Wisconsin at Aurora. It's been great to have you on the program for your first time, and I hope it won't be the last time. It was wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg, and wonderful to be a partner of Gateway. Appreciate it.
And Dr. Vicki Coyle, Dean of Gateway's School of Health, great to talk with you, and I know you're excited about a new class of nursing graduates who are about to be pinned, and thank you for all the good work that you are doing on behalf of all of the healthcare students at Gateway, and thanks for being part of the morning show again today.
Great. Thank you again for having us.
And to the boss, President Brian Albrecht, thank you so much. Thanks for all of the time you've given to the morning show over this last year, and I look forward to many more conversations with you.
You bet, Greg. Merry Christmas to all and Happy New Year. Look forward to seeing everyone in 2022.
This weekend in the podcast version of the morning show, a couple of interesting shows out of the archives, including tomorrow, a conversation with a man and wife, husband and wife, talking about the experience of being foster parents. Beginning next week, we are replaying some of our most memorable morning show conversations from 2021. Beginning on Monday with a conversation I recorded in January with composer Jim Stevenson, shortly after he had the thrill of having a brand new fanfare played at the inauguration of of Joe Biden. So a conversation about that exciting experience that will air on Monday. On Tuesday, my conversation with father and son Jerry and Jordan Wendell, right after Jordan Wendell earned a place on the U.S. Olympic diving team. On Wednesday, Tim O'Brien, best-selling author, talking about his poignant book, Dad's Maybe Book. And on Thursday, Matthew Paul Turner, talking about what it was like to complete a work called What God Is Like.